So this is the first part of the lesson, and it's also a little bit kind of like an icebreaker. In the room is hidden a certain sum of money.
Okay.
Whoever finds it gets to keep it. You may look.
How did you find that so quickly? What?
The spirit must have led him. It was in a book. I mean, he went straight for the book on the ledge. It was weird. And I know he didn't see me do it because he wasn't here when I hit it. So that's crazy stuff. So in keeping with the theme for this summer, we're doing a summer to remember. So already we have a memory. It's like, yo, remember when Andre went straight to the book and found the money? That's weird. All right. In addition to that, we're going through the study series. And so we're kind of making messages / sermons / reviews on the scriptures in the study series. And tonight I'm going to be doing what we call the timeline study.
Amen.
Amen. But now, quick question. What does it feel like to search for something?
Sometimes annoying.
Sometimes annoying. Why?
Because, like, when I lose my keys or my school ID, which I've lost like 10 times, like, oh my gosh, I have to pay another $20 if I don't find this.
Right, right. That's accurate. Okay, what else?
I think it depends on what you're searching for. Because if it's something good, you're like really excited for it. But if you're searching for like, yeah, lost cars, you're just like, ah, don't want it. Like, I want to find it, but I'm kind of tired of looking kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree with him. Like, for example, when I was filing my tax return, I was eager to find out how much, like, I was going to get. Like, amen.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. Go ahead, Drew.
For me, searching for stuff is pretty annoying, except like when I find it and I just feel vindicated. Like, yes, that effort I spent was worth it.
That's excellent. Mm. Go ahead.
For me, it's pretty chill. It's like, I know it's going to turn up somewhere, so just don't look for it. I'm going to find it somewhere. I got to pull for the money.
Right. I was just sharing the other day when I was a kid. You know how like they have those super high bounce balls? Okay, so I had one of them, right? And I couldn't have been more than 6. And I was like, oh man, where did it go? Where did I put it? And you know, those things are so small, they could be anywhere. So now, you know, panic is in your heart. Also, it was kind of a big deal because it was 25 cents in the gumball machine. 25 cents was a lot of money for a kid back. So I'm looking all over. And then I remember going under the refrigerator and wondering why my hand was in the fist. And I opened it up.
Wow.
When you want to find something, you just do about anything to go get it. And so what's really kind of interesting is that this is called a timeline study, but I actually remember when this was first kind of introduced to the congregation. Well, what do you mean? This wasn't part of like the canon of studies. It was an idea that somebody had, which is actually a great idea. It's like, well, hey, why don't we make like a really short study that you could actually memorize, walk around with, and like talk to people, like on the street or on campus or on the bus or whatever. And so that was one of the first scriptures I memorized, was Jeremiah 29, you know, 11, where, and then I had a little trouble with Acts was it 17, was it 24, was it 24, 17, you know. But, you know, I had the general gist of it, and then, you know, you were also allowed to carry around your Bible and say, hey, can I share a scripture with you? And then you would turn to that. And so, the purpose of it now is to get to know the person that you're studying with, and to get to know them spiritually, religiously, and then set up for consistent Bible study. Okay, so how does this start? In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, and so that's the first scripture, it says, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. And so, well, why is that like a big deal? Well, Jesus told us to go and to love. It's like, yeah, he said go and make disciples, but when he asked what was the first and greatest commandment, the first was to love God, and the second was to love your neighbor as yourself. And so here you're declaring your love for the person that you're sitting down with, and that's kind of a big deal. It's like, I kind of really don't even know you, but I'd like to get to know you better. And so what you're going to do at that point is you're going to open up, and you're going to lead by being vulnerable. And so I'm going to take this time to let you know my conversion story. So my wife and I, we had dated since she was a senior in high school and I was a freshman in college. We got married as soon as she finished school. As a matter of fact, so she graduated in, like, what was that, May? And then September, we were set to get married. So, got married, made it together a year and a half before she was ready to kill me. And unfortunately, I had brought it on myself, not knowing how to resolve conflict, being passive aggressive, you know, the type of guy that's like, okay, well, I'm not gonna, you know, do anything right now, I'm sneaky later. And she got snuck a couple of times and she's like, you know what, I'm done. And so things had basically fallen apart. I had moved out. It was like a scene out of a movie. It was snowing right around the winter time. I put all my stuff in my car that had been broken into all the time, and the trunk wood block was messed up. And here I am driving, and I take my ring off, and I throw it out the window on the West Side Highway. And then in a series of ironic events, I start to spin out because it's snowing so hard, and I hit my wheel. And I get it doesn't pop the tire, but it bends the rim. So the rest of the way, I'm riding home like this. True story. And, you know, so I was at home for the next, the next couple of months. And I had to go out and I had to find work. And so I started working in the city at Pearl Paint, which is an art supply store. And my wife now is separated from me in the apartment that we used to live in. And what was amazing was God had worked it all out because the landlady's daughter of the apartment that we're living in was a disciple. Mm-hmm. Reached out to my wife and said, hey, would you like to study the Bible? It looks like you're kind of, you know, going through a little rough time in your life right now. That's kind of bold. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like to step up to somebody and say, hey, look, you know, I can kind of see your business and you look like you could use God. So because of that, my wife started studying the Bible. We got reconciled. But then, now I'm one of those non-Christian husbands. And I'm and so I'm the guy that persecutes the wife when she gets home. It's like, well, why do you smell like cologne? No, it's because, you know, I was giving brothers hugs. You don't need to be hugging anybody. If there's anybody you need to be hugging, it's me. And I don't know why you're going to this church. I don't know why you call them brothers. They're not your brother. I don't know why these people are your sisters. And it goes on and on and on. In addition, now, I've developed some bad habits since we've been apart. And I've kind of grown accustomed to those ways. And I am not the contributing member of this marriage. So what should happen is, as we're living now in New Jersey, up in North Bergen, there's a Bible talk. And my wife was put into that Bible talk because she had been uprooted from Brooklyn where she was studying the Bible and was thrown in Jersey, had to make all new friends. Who should the friends be but Bob and Jamie Lippincott? Well, who's Bob and Jamie Lippincott? Well, you know Ross Lippincott. Well, Ross is the child of Bob and Jamie. And so, in a big way, what was kind of crazy was Ross was instrumental in my baptism. Well, how could that be? I didn't like him because here I am. I didn't like Bob. But when Bob called Ross, Ross would come. And when Bob asked Ross to do something, Ross would do it. And it wasn't like begrudgingly, or it wasn't like whatever. When we're used to going to, you know, the supermarket, and you see, here's this little kid saying, yes, Dad, and going and doing it. He couldn't have been more than a year and a half. And I was like, this kid loves his father, and he's obedient to him. There's something going on. Real life. This is what impacted me. And so in my arrogance, he said, well, you know what? Why don't you study, why don't we sit down and study the Bible? I said, dude, I know how to read. I'll read it myself. So I made it, I think, through to about Deuteronomy. I was like, oh, okay, well, let me see what these guys have to say. But the interesting thing about it is actually having been in my word, that softened my heart enough to be able to listen to what they had to say. And then I sat down with Leo Sifle and Bob Litt, and when they showed me the cross, that was it. Because they said, wait a second, this makes perfect sense to me. I put Jesus on the cross, and so now I live in his place. I get it. And there it was. So it was a couple of weeks later, I was just sharing with my wife. Actually, it was 28 years on Friday, May 25th. So you know how we like have baptisms and I'm there with my camera and you know, there's everybody everywhere. There was my wife, Jamie, Bob, Leo, and Juanita in the basement of the Seabold house, which was the brother's house. So your dad was living there when he was a single guy. Tom Hughes.
Come on, Tom.
Yeah, and a bunch of other guys, like, you know, it would have been the bro's house, but here now it was this house. So. All that having been said, that's my testimony. But now, it's like, you give the other person the opportunity, and you start to ask them some questions. It's like, okay, well, when were you born? You know, let's write down, okay, what happened during your younger years, you know, before you went to school? Okay, what sort of things happened in grade school, during your teen years, your young adult life, your adult life career, the recent past, and then the current age? And then say, what are some significant spiritual events would you put on this timeline? It's like, okay, would you say you're a Christian? Okay, well, if so, when did you become one? What churches did you go to? You know, did you go to a bunch of different churches? Did you go to one church? Did you grow up in the church? Church hopping? Okay. Were you saved? Well, when did that happen? Were you baptized? Did you get the Holy Spirit? And then lastly, how would you teach somebody how to become a Christian? And I like that question because then as they're explaining all this stuff to you, you write this down, and then it helps you to get to know who they are. In addition, it's also written out, and then you can show them and say, hey, is this all factual? Because what can happen later is that people pleasing can creep in, or pride can creep in, and as you're studying with somebody, they say, oh, well, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So, oh, but you said this here all the time. And then, you know, then they have to confront that. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you're trying to help them to get to heaven. And Satan's on them for that. So after you share your testimony, you can look at Acts 17, and after they share their testimony, you can look at Acts 17, 24 through 27. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. He did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from you. And so now, here it goes back to the seeking, right? But something that we always want to do is we want to model the behavior that we expect. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, I've got a former student here, actually two former students, which is kind of crazy. I wasn't the loudest guy. I wasn't shouting. I wasn't getting angry all the time. I wasn't losing my, well, why? And I've gotten better at it over the years, fortunately. It's because I'm trying to model what I want to see the kids do. And so when I say excuse me, I'm saying excuse me. If I have to say it six times, then I say it six times. But after the sixth time, I say, well, hang on a second, guys. Does it bother you when you try to get somebody's attention six times? And they go, yeah. Okay, well, that bothers me too. I'm willing to forgive you for it. But I am the teacher in the classroom, and I am trying to give you something. And so I need your attention. And then that helps them, because it gives them the opportunity to go, okay, boom. That, and then they can't catch an attitude with you, because you don't have an attitude with them. That being said, so with regards to seeking, who here has found God? Okay. Where is he? Okay, he's everywhere. That's kind of ambiguous. But it's the truth. Well, okay, so let me throw it out there. Where's God? Where?
In all.
He's in all? Okay, yeah.
In me.
He's in you? Good. He's in the Bible? What are some practical ways to seek him? Go ahead.
In his word?
Yeah, in his word. Yeah, what's a practical way to seek God? Go ahead, Carl.
Pray in the morning.
Pray in the morning. Is that what you said?
Sure.
Serving the poor. That's outstanding. Yes,
going to church.
Going to church.
Enrollment that talks about how you see God within creation, so like mountains, nature, that kind of stuff.
Boom. Go take a picture of some flowers. You know? Okay, what else? Good. Those are all great ways. Do you do that?
Sometimes.
All the times? Most of the times? How often should you? Often. Well, why? Why seek God?
So you can become more like His Son.
So you can become more like His Son. Well, why be more like His Son?
Things so you can find it.
Okay, so you can find it. Good.
And Jordan said it's worth the effort.
It is worth the effort, but why is it worth the effort?
Because He sought me.
Because
He sought me.
Because He sought after us? Okay, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Why else?
If you don't seek God, the devil will take over you, and then you fall into sin.
Ooh, check that one out. Okay, well, there's consequences if you don't. Okay. Go ahead.
I guess it's like there's so many different layers, like you've never really found all of Him. Like there's so many different ways and aspects that you can find God.
Yeah, it's like, okay, even if you found Him, how long would it take to understand Him? How long would it take to be able to be like Him? You know, so as we encourage other people to begin to seek God, what do you need to be doing?
Seeking God.
Who here can teach me how to ride a motorcycle?
What?
Motorcycle. Your dad? Okay, that's right. Yeah, definitely. No, but who in this room?
Not here.
So what's my point?
No one.
Yeah. No, nobody here can teach me how to ride a motorcycle. I can teach you guys how. Why?
Because you do it.
I'm a motorcycle. I can ride. Okay. So what's the point? You've got to be seeking God in order to be teaching somebody how to seek
God. Yeah.
All right, so the last scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And so Andre went straight to that book, man. That was fast. Holy. And guess what? He found it. That didn't mean that you guys wouldn't have found it. He happened to find it. But God isn't hiding from us. Mm-hmm. He's available. But we have to do what? Seek him how?
All of our heart.
It can't be half-hearted. It can't be kind of. It's like, oh, you know what? I got up and I read and I prayed today. Check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang on a second. Did you find God?
Right.
Well, how do you know if you found God? Well, you got to know him better. Well, how do you know if you got to know him better? You got some insight that you didn't have last time you met. Oh, wow. I love that. That's my favorite thing. I love to read the Bible and go, guess what I learned today?
Right.
Ask my wife.
That's true.
Yep.
Ask my son. I love that. You know why? Because I feel like God is talking to me. I feel like he's opening up my mind to understand him better. And then, Jim Brown gave an amazing example, you know, because he was talking about how we need to rely on God and everything. And I was just feeling bad, and I wasn't being facetious or whatever, but I said, you know, should I be asking God, you know, to help me brush my teeth? And he was like, no, what you need to be doing is asking him to help you with things that you know you can't do, like find somebody open, or to serve the poor, or to overcome your fears, or to overcome a struggle. Those are the things you need to be praying for, because then when he does it, when he acts, then you go, God's there, he's there. I love it when he reveals himself to me. One of my favorite ways is to drive into Manhattan and find parking. And it happens all the time. That's wonderful. And I don't have to pay. Oh, my daughter and I went to D.C. To see the cherry blossoms. And we found parking. In the middle of the nation's capital. Wow. While everybody was there looking at the cherry blossom. So, you know, it's the little things. Mm-hmm. It's the little things that build your faith. Mm-hmm. Little things that make you happy. Saying, you know, God is here. But if we go through our days and just kind of whatever and boom and blah, then, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, so at this point in the study, you ask the person, hey, you want to seek God?
Yeah.
And say, okay, well, what sort of ways do you think they need to do that? Oh, well, study the Bible. Okay, great. When can we do that again? Okay, what are you doing next Thursday? Well, Thursday's tomorrow. Are you free tomorrow? No, seriously. It's like we, you know, sometimes we're so fired up. Hey, look, I've been that way. It's like, I'm so fired up, I'm studying the Bible with somebody. Let's study next month. Yeah. Are you free tomorrow? Let's study tomorrow. You're not free tomorrow? Okay, how about Friday? Okay, Saturday? Well, what's the soonest you have? Nail it down. Okay, well, what's the time? Where at? Where you want to meet? Those are the practicals, but they need to be done. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, things happen. Anything else? So you nail down the time. And then, as they talk about the different ways to, you know, start seeking God, it's like, okay, well, studying the Bible is good. What else can you do? I can read my Bible. You should start doing that now. Do you have a Bible? Here, I've got an extra one. Okay, all right. So they're studying the Bible, they're reading the Bible. Awesome. Where's it? Like you said, go to church. Hey, service is this Sunday. Hey, well, we're having midweek next week, Wednesday. Okay, great. I love it. Why? Because you want this person to get to know the God that you see.
Yeah.
The one that has saved you from your sin. Amen?
Yeah.
And guess what? That's it.
Come on!